While a lot of money is being spent researching ecological changes in the Bering Sea, there is only one instrument miles to the south that is currently measuring the acidity of Alaska's waters. Researchers hope that will soon be changing. Ocean acidity could have major implications for the health of the salmon population. APRN's Steve Heimel has this report.
Get ready for a new acronym, 4AM. It stands for the title of a bill that may pass Congress next week. The Federal Ocean Acidification Research and Monitoring Act was rolled into the big public lands bill the Senate passed, and the House is expected to follow soon. It will authorize research on how higher carbon dioxide levels in the atmosphere are affecting the acidity of the ocean. Acidification is serious business. Higher acid levels impair the formation of shells by shellfish, corals, and also some plankton, for instance, coccolithophores, which are eaten in great amounts by copepods, the great energy fuel that gives Pacific salmon their reddish coloration. Oceanographer Richard Feely of the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration in Seattle gave a keynote speech at the Marine Science Symposium this week in Anchorage. He follows the acidification issue closely. The pictures he showed of what happens to coccolithophores in laboratory experiments are not pretty. Healthy, these plankton are round balls of calcium shells. In corrosive waters, they turn into misshapen lumps, unlikely to survive.
And they're very prevalent in the Bering Sea, so this is an important food resource for the copepods. And so we're concerned about all these species that are at the base of the food chain and how that may reverberate up from the phytoplankton to the copepods to the salmon. And we don't know all those connections yet. We don't know what the responses will be, but the initial data suggests that we could have a serious problem.
Feely has found places off the California coast where deep acid waters were upwelling high enough to combine with surface water made acidic by atmospheric CO2. He says nobody has yet measured whether this is happening in Alaska waters. It's all guesswork until there's some monitoring.
The colder regions of the oceans, particularly around Alaska, absorb more CO2 from the atmosphere than the warmer regions of the oceans. So in doing so, make that region more vulnerable to the effects of ocean acidification. And in fact, the Arctic Ocean, as I suggested today, could become completely corrosive to calcifying organisms as early as 2020 in some locations. And by 2040 or 2050, much as 50% of the Arctic would be corrosive to the calcifying organisms.
2 years ago, researchers did place a buoy in the deep waters of the Gulf of Alaska, which has been recording water acidity and comparing it to CO2 levels. Feely says they need to have more such measurements. The good news is that there are other buoys placed in the Bering Sea by other ocean research programs. Equipment to monitor acidity can just be added to them.
We now have sensors that are placed right below the surface on the moorings, both for PCO2 and pH. And with those two measurements, we can describe the carbon system well enough to say what's happening with respect to ocean acidification.
The 4AM Act will authorize this research, but it will take separate action by Congress to appropriate the money for it. Plus, there's the question of whether the existing buoys are in the right place to see the upwelling that contributes to acidification. Still, for a problem that wasn't on anybody's radar screen 5 years ago, that's a lot of progress. Problems low on the oceanic food chain can have profound implications, but they don't get anywhere near the funding fish research does. But acid research is fish research. The shellfish industry alone is worth a couple $1 billion, and then there are the finfish. Coccolithophores are only one of the shell-forming plankton species that are important to salmon. There are also pteropods, a kind of tiny snail. Lab work has shown that even slight increases in acidity at levels already being seen in the ocean can impair them. Biologists think a 10% reduction in pteropods can lead to a 20% reduction in the body weight of a mature salmon.
Yeah, that's a model output from our colleagues in the NOAA fisheries. So all model outputs, of course, have to be verified with field data. But that's one of the concerns, is that the juvenile salmon, such as the pink salmon, as much as 50 to 60% of their diet are the pteropods. And it's what allows them to survive in the wintertime, because that's their primary source of food in the wintertime.
Scientists have documented acid damage to coral and clams, and in a couple of areas where CO2 naturally seeps from undersea volcanoes, they found acid damage to mussels. Feely says these findings are not surprising, but most of the questions about when and where acidification occurs and how organisms recover from exposure are still unanswered. In Anchorage, I'm Steve Heimel.